Do you know what the scariest thing is? To not know your place in this world. To not know why you're here. It's just an awful feeling.
Maestro, maestro, maestro.
Yes, sir.
What is your take on treadmills? What do you think about treadmills?
I think they're, I guess if you got to have them, personally, if I'm walking, I want to go somewhere. I don't like just standing in one place and, you know, it's okay if you're a mouse, you know, and you got nothing to get in one of those things. But
so you're telling me that you don't like equating your life with that of a life of a rodent in a wheel?
No, I don't like that at all.
Okay, so you are, in other words, you are condescending to the rodents of the world. You are you're better than the rodents.
A lot of people need them; they've got to have them, and I understand. Okay, that's okay. I might need one day, okay. But for right now, I'm going to get out and walk around the block.
I just want to tell you that I'm a little offended because not long ago I did purchase a used treadmill from some friends of mine at church. So basically you're equating me with a rat in a little wheel. And I can live with that, though. I've been called worse than a rat before, so I can live with that. And I actually don't take...
Do you not have a block you can walk around?
I have a block. I just don't like walking around it. It's especially when it's cold outside. I'm too much of a weenie. I need to have air conditioning, a nice cushy place for a book or a video to be playing so I can be doing that. I can't, just walking around for the sake of walking around just doesn't do it for me.
In this part of the country, it's only cold for a little while.
Yeah.
Well, and this is the time you're supposed to be, you know, eating and packing on. Well, so that you're ready for the walking when the time comes.
Well, let me tell you, I got the eating and packing part down pretty good. I don't need any help with that one. All right, so you know, I got to admit with you though, or at least agree with you that I have never worked so hard in my life walking and going absolutely nowhere. That is true. With a treadmill, you do not go anywhere. But today on this show, we are going to go somewhere. Welcome to another edition of Career Callings. I'm your host, Robbie Romeiser. And our mission at Career Callings is to help people avoid the financial and emotional pain of a bad career decision by helping them find, prepare for, and pursue the work God created them to do. You can join us today by phone, text, or email. Phone or text at 864-381-7649, 864-381-7649. Or by email at robbie@careercallings.net. That's robbie@careercallings.net. Now, speaking of treadmills, another question for you, Maestro. Have you ever in your life felt like your career was on a treadmill?
Sometimes, yes.
Just that constant walking and pushing and getting absolutely nowhere.
Every week, it's another career calling.
It's another treadmill moment.
Those are good treadmills.
Those are good treadmills, you know?
Talk about the good treadmills? Let me talk about those.
Yeah, sometimes the treadmills are flat. Sometimes they're on the 10 incline where you have to work a little harder, but I get you. But, you know, a lot of people have that same thing happen. I know I have had that happen in my life. Many other people have had that happen in their lives where they just... They're working, and feel like they're not getting anywhere, feel like they're not doing what they're supposed to be doing. And I think for some, I cannot say for all, but for some people who are experiencing that, there may be a reason that they're experiencing that they never really have considered. And that reason that they never really have considered is in the book of Psalms. It is in Psalm 127, verse 1. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain who build it. And to kind of flesh out what I'm talking about here. There are plenty of examples of people, both Christian workers we'll focus on in particular here, both in the secular world and in the sacred, who kind of burned out in their services to the king. And they've toiled, they've strived, they've worked hard, but they've not been able to get ahead. They've not been able to build their careers or their businesses or their ministries, no matter how hard they tried. And worn out and dejected, at the end of the day, they move on to other endeavors and give up on what they believed at one time was something they were supposed to be doing for the Lord. Now, Christians may fail in their efforts for a number of reasons, but again, Psalm 127:1 is a reason some at least fail, because no matter how hard you work, no matter how hard you strive, and no matter how hard you pray, you will not be able to build a house that God doesn't want you to build. And this was true for King David in 2 Samuel chapter 7. King David wanted to build a house to honor God, but God would not let King David build that house. His reasoning, of course, was, "You've been a bloody man. I don't want you to build my house, but I'm going to let your son build it for me." So there may be some desire in our hearts that we think is noble, that we think is right, that we think is true, and that we think we ought to do for the Lord's glory, but the Lord doesn't want us to do that. He wants us to do something else. And I think it's safe to say most folks, including myself, have attempted to build a house for the Lord, thinking it was the right thing, but not truly being in tune with what God would have us to do. So to kind of apply that to careers, if you're trying to build a business, trying to build a ministry, and you're not doing it according to God's will, it's not going to work. For example, if you're trying to build a business and God wants you to build a ministry, or vice versa for that matter, He will remove every nail you drive, block every permit you apply for. You'll fail every inspection for the building you're trying to construct in God's name, because God has a purpose for your life, and if you live in avoidance of that purpose and in pursuit of your own, the house you're building will be a house of cards. God will blow it down again and again and again until you finally get the picture that His house is the only one that will stand. I can say from my own life, there have been times in my own life where I've tried to build a business and my thinking was, my justification was, I'm doing this for God's glory. My true underlying motivation was, I want to do this because I think I can make a lot of money. Oh, and by the way, I'll share a lot of that money with the Lord and the church and the charity and all that. So I'm really building God's house. But in reality, that house I was trying to build was not His. It was mine. And I was trying to justify that those steps I was taking by kind of throwing some carrots to the Lord, saying, "Oh, I'll share in all this prosperity with you." Maestro, here's another question for you. The Bible preaches diligence, right?
Yes.
Okay, the Bible definitely preaches diligence. Well, a lot of people equate diligence with getting up early, staying up late, working your fingers to the bone, right? And a lot of people in this country think if you do that, if you stay up late, get up early, work all day really, 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 really hard,
yep,
you're going to be successful.
That's what they think.
That's not what the Bible teaches.
Oh.
Let me just share a quote from you from the Bible that, again, most people never really grasp hold of. I'm going to read Psalm 127:2, the very next verse. After that follows the verse we read to launch the program off with. "Except the Lord builds a house, they labor in vain who build it." Now here's verse 2. "It is vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to take rest late, and to eat the bread of anxious toil." God is telling us through the psalmist in Psalm 127, it's vanity to stay up late, get up early, and eat the bread of anxious toil. If what? If you're not working on building the house God wants you to build. So you might be doing everything the world's telling you to do, working your fingers to the bone, staying up late, getting up early, and never getting anywhere. It's like you're on a career treadmill because you're striving to build a house of your own making. Now, what happens when you're actually working to build the house God wants you to build? Now, don't get me wrong. There's diligent action that needs to be taken in that regard. But this is what the second half of Psalm 127:2 says. "For He," meaning God, "gives blessings to His beloved in sleep." What God is teaching us there is, yeah, be diligent in the building of His house, but you don't have to be anxiously toiling about it. You don't have to be killing yourself to do it, because if you're doing God's work, not that it will always be easy, but He will bless it even in your sleep. So again, a lot of times when we don't seem to be doing anything but running on a career treadmill, one thing we should really pray about and ask about of the Lord in prayer and through Bible study and reading is, Lord, am I really working on your house that you want me to build? And the answer might come back yes, and the answer might come back just stick with it. Eventually you'll get where I want you to go. Or the answer might come back, you started that career because you were chasing money or fame or power, and I'm not all about that. If you rise up early, if you take rest late, constantly eat the bread of anxious toil to no avail, then the odds are you're pursuing a path that God never intended for you to follow in the first place. And you will not find success on that road. But if you just change course and you take the road shown to you by God, then he'll bless your steps even in your sleep. Now, if you feel like God is opposing you every step of the way, he probably is. I have felt that way at certain points in my life where I felt like I was banging my head against God's wall. And he probably is doing so, if that's the case in your case, because you're building the wrong house. So therefore, fall on your knees before Jesus. Ask him to show you the blueprint for the house he wants you to build, and then lift your hammer of construction on his home that he wants you to build and not yours. All right? Which, of course, begs the question, how do I discern what house it is I'm supposed to build? I mean, that's the logical question. Is it not, Maestro? I think it is. So I'm going to give you two simple steps to discovering your career calling. And we'll start this conversation on this side of the break. When we get on the other side of the break, we'll finish it up. But here's two simple steps to discovering your career calling. Now, when considering what kind of calling God wants you to engage in, what kind of house he wants you to build, you need to understand that God made you and me both for a general career and for a specific work. And for the next few moments, we'll first of all explore how to determine what kind of work in general God designed you for, and then we'll explore how to identify God's specific work-related call in your life. Now, let's start with the first one. To determine what kind of work in general God designed for you to do, you need to discover the dominant gift God entrusted to you. Now, even though God gives each of us more than one strength, your dominant gift is the thing you do at your absolute best with the least amount of effort. And the Bible is clear that God imparts to each of us gifts that he intends for us to use for his glory and for the betterment of other people. And when we find work that centers around that gift, we glorify God and benefit others to our maximum potential and to our maximum personal fulfillment. And when we get back from the break, I'll share with you a biblical example of what I'm talking about, using your gift to glorify God and for the benefit of those around you. So come on back in just a few minutes after the break.
When you listen every weekday to the Eric Metaxas Show, you'll hear from the people making news. Plus, we'll talk to some of the more surprising voices in contemporary Christian life. And did I mention fun? Yeah, I'm Eric Metaxas, and I'm trying to pioneer a new kind of talk radio. So join me every weekday for the Eric Metaxas Show. You'll never think about radio quite the same way again.
Tonight at 10 on Christian Talk 92.9.
Well, I'm here with Rudy with Geek Out Games talking about Teach Me Morpheus. And Rudy, tell me a little bit about how you see Teach Me Morpheus benefiting your business.
Well, one of the things that we sell at Geek Out Games are very complicated strategy games. And part of what we can do for our customers is put together videos to help them really dig into the meat of some of these complicated games. So we see Teach Me Morpheus as helping our customers learn how to get more bang out of their buck for their game, while the store can also benefit by cashing in on the revenue stream from those newer players.
Help your customers make money for your organization. That's what TeachMeMorpheus.com, a new online learning platform, can do for your business or nonprofit. To learn more, check out TeachMeMorpheus.com, referral code HISRADIO. That's TeachMeMorpheus.com, referral code HISRADIO.
The Journey Christian Newspaper, originating right here in the Carolinas, offers encouragement through articles to equip readers in their walk with Christ. From local spotlight articles to news and Christian events, the Journey Christian Newspaper provides information and connections to the Christian community. The current issue is available on racks now, or online at journeychristiannews.com. The Journey Christian Newspaper, encouraging Christians on their walk with Christ. A proud partner with Christian Talk 660 and 92.9.
Only 27% of college grads are working in the career field for which they studied. The average cost of college is a little bit more than 18 grand a year. This means that 73% of college grads waste $75,000 and years of their lives pursuing fields of study they will never use in real life. To learn more about how you or someone you love can use biblical wisdom to avoid the financial and emotional pain of a bad career decision, visit careercallings.net/discover, careercallings.net/discover.
You're listening to Christian Talk 660.
But our lives aren't just measured in years. They're measured in the lives of people we touch around us.
This feels like my calling and my purpose in life. There's something different about this journey that's more heart connected.
Purpose is more than just your core of your own self. It's beyond your own identity. Everybody ultimately wants to serve other people.
You can have everything in life you want. You'll just help enough other people get what they want.
And that little bit of sadness in the mornings you spoke of, perhaps you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing.
Maestro, I can't believe you accused me of disagreeing with my purportedly eighth great grandfather, Benjamin Franklin.
You're related to Benjamin Franklin?
There is a Romeiser household myth that I am clinging to. My mother's maiden name was Franklin.
Uh-huh.
And I was told at some point in my youth that Benjamin Franklin was my eighth great grandfather. I have no idea if that's true, and I really have no intention of confirming or denying.
You wear the glasses.
I do wear the glasses, and you know, definitely, I'm growing the belly that many people would see in a rendition of Benji Franklin. But I did not contradict Benji. Maestro was accusing me of saying that Benjamin. I was confused. What's the quote again?
Early to bed, early to rise makes man healthy, wealthy, and wise.
And that's not what I said. The Bible said. The Bible said it's vain to get up early and then stay up late, and then burn the candle of anxious toil. If I can put it that in that paraphrase. Now, there's nothing wrong with toiling. What the Bible is preaching against is anxious toil, worrying all the time throughout your work. Striving for that which God did not necessarily command you to strive for. So there you go. Anyway, where are we? We are a show about career callings, are
That's
we not?
It.
That's the name of the show, Career Callings. I'm your host, Robbie Romeiser. Welcome back from the break. And our purpose at Career Callings is to help people avoid the financial and emotional pain of a bad career decision by helping them find, prepare for, and pursue the work God created them to do. You can join us today by phone, text, or email. Phone or text at 864-381-7649. That's 864-381-7649. Or by email at robbie@careercallings.net. That's robbie@careercallings.net. Before the break, we were just starting to talk about two simple steps that you can take to discover your career calling. And what I was beginning to discuss right before the break is that the first step is to understand what your God-given gift is. And your God-given career-related gift is that thing that you do at your absolute best with the least amount of effort. And a biblical example of that is Bezalel and Aholiab. Both of these gentlemen are mentioned in the book of Exodus multiple times in several chapters, but I'll just kind of briefly state what was mentioned when they were first introduced in Exodus 31, chapter 31, verses 1 through 6. And this is what those verses say. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, See, I have called by name Bezalel, and I have filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom and in understanding and in knowledge and in all manner of workmanship, to devise cunning works, to work in gold and in silver and in brass and in cutting of stones, to set them and in carving of timber, to work in all manner of workmanship. And I, behold, I have given with him Aholiab. And in the hearts of all that are wise-hearted, I have put wisdom, and that they may make all that I have commanded thee. You see, Bezalel and Aholiab and their compatriots were excellent craftsmen. And the reason they were excellent in their work is because God gave them the gift to do so. And God had an intention for them to glorify God with the use of that gift and also for the benefit of others. Because what these two gentlemen did was oversee the building of the tabernacle, which glorified God first and also benefited the people as the people of Israel utilized if I can say it that way, the tabernacle to worship the Lord. So to discover your gift, what you ought to do is write down all of your successes, both personal and career related, throughout your life that you can remember, and then see if there's a common theme. And if there is one talent or skill that runs through most of your achievements, chances are that's your gift. And you certainly can also ask your friends, your family members, and coworkers what abilities they associate with you. They may have actually picked up on a characteristic you've undervalued or ignored or even not even noticed. And when I look back on my life, just in way of illustration, one gift rises to the surface time and time again, and that's the gift of teaching. I mean, I can remember even as far back as grade school, fellow students of mine asking me if I could explain to them what the teacher had just said, because they didn't get it, but I did. And for decades since, I've taught people a variety of topics on a one-to-one basis in classroom settings and seminars. And every time I teach, I feel energized. I feel personally fulfilled. And the reason that is because I'm glorifying God by helping others in the absolute best way I can with the least amount of effort on my part. In other words, I'm working in accordance with God's gift that He gave to me. I'm effectively helping others in the way that comes most naturally to me. And I, you know, everybody's got that gift that the Lord has given to them. It could be teaching. It could be bridging personality issues. Some people are just natural born conflict resolution people.
Eating? Could it be eating?
It could be eating.
I do that very well with the least amount of effort. People have commented on the way that I eat. They marvel.
Do you metabolize well as well? Because if you eat and if it's a gluttony thing, then we got an issue there. Because never does God give you a gift that He wants you to use in contrast to what the Bible teaches. Gluttony is a bad thing. So as long as you can constrain your eating habits, Maestro, then that might just qualify. There are professional.
I was going to say,
what do they call those guys?
Tasters.
Food critics.
Food critics.
You know what? If I fail as a radio broadcaster, I am going to become a food critic because I can do that. Hmm. I can eat with the best of them. Yes, I can. Just be quiet over there. Identifying your gift is indeed the primary clue to identifying, in general, what type of work you're best suited for. But to keep in mind here, this kind of is guiding you in the direction of your general work area, because there are many types of jobs that would enable you to utilize your gift. I mean, there's all kinds of jobs I can use my teaching gift in. So those many different jobs can be very fulfilling for you. So that's going to give you a guide. Understanding your gift is going to guide you along the general path, the general calling, the general type of work that God has intended for you. But what about the specific work? What about identifying a specific call to a specific work that God has given you? That's the second step here. Your career calling, your specific career calling, is found at the intersection of where your gift meets the specific problem that God has burdened you to solve. Before God gives you a specific call, He will give you a specific burden. He'll show you a specific pain that others have, and He will give you a desire to remove that pain. And He will also show you that you're uniquely designed to remove that pain because He endowed you with the perfect gift to do that. Identifying your God-given burden is not the same thing as identifying a need that others have. I mean, you, me, anybody, with a pen, piece of paper, and 10 minutes of time could make a list of dozens of needs that we can recognize in other people. So there's a difference between understanding the pain that others have and being actually burdened yourself to remove that pain. And here are the differences. The burden will touch you at a deep emotional level. And number two, God will not let you forget about your burden no matter how hard you try. Now, emotion may be a part of understanding a need that others have, but the emotion will not be acute. You'll acknowledge it, but it won't be an acute emotional tie to that need. Also, just recognizing somebody else's need, time will cause you to forget about those needs that you identify only in your human strength. God-given burdens are characterized, however, by a deep emotional identification with those in pain, and God will not let you forget about that need He wants you to address until you do something to address it. And take Nehemiah, for example. We've talked about Nehemiah on the program before. When he first learned of the broken walls and poverty of Jerusalem, he was so emotionally distraught that he prayed and fasted for several days. in Nehemiah chapter 1. In Nehemiah chapter 2, we find Nehemiah asking the king for permission to travel to Jerusalem to address the problems there. But what many people don't realize is that roughly 5 months passed between chapters 1 and chapters 2 when Nehemiah learned of Jerusalem's pain in chapter 1, and then in chapter 2 when Nehemiah took action to do something about it. And during that 5 months, God continually reminded Nehemiah of Jerusalem's need, and as Nehemiah prayed and fasted during that 5 month period, God absolutely made it clear to Nehemiah that Nehemiah was uniquely gifted and called to do something about that need. Now, at some point in your life, and it may be several times in your life, God will burden you for a specific work. He will show you the pain that others have, and he will touch you emotionally about that pain. He will constantly remind you of that pain, and he won't let up on you until you realize that he gave you the perfect gift to remove the pain he so burdened you about. Where your gift and your burden intersect is where your specific career calling lies, and if you want a life filled with God's peace, you're going to have to submit to that calling, whether you, no matter what it is and whether you want to or not on the front end. It won't be until you submit that you'll find the peace you want. And to give you another illustration, career callings exist because God gave me a burden to do something about the financial and emotional pain that people suffer as a result of poor career decisions. Having struggled with career questions myself for nearly 20 years, I understood that I understand the pain that comes with bad career choices, and I emotionally connect with people who don't know what their vocational purpose is. And with that gift of teaching that God has given me, he showed me that my calling was to share with others what I've learned through my own career struggles, so that their financial and emotional pain could be alleviated or even avoided altogether. Now, a big question, of course, is this. What if you don't currently have a burden? What if you don't have a specific burden that you're emotionally tied to? Well, then here's the answer to that question. Take the time to at least identify your gift and take the steps based on the information you have on hand you think God would have you to take. So identify that thing you do best with the least amount of effort. That's your gift. And at least take steps in a career path that you think the Lord would have you to take. I mean, the Bible's clear that if you commit your works unto him, your thoughts will be established. That's from Proverbs 16:3. That means if you commit to do God's will, he's going to direct your steps. He's going to even establish your thoughts along the right path. Even if you don't understand where those thoughts are coming from or where they're leading, they'll be the right thoughts because they'll be God's, because you've committed to do his will. Psalm 37:23 says, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord." In other words, if you desire to do God's will, he will guide you along your path. For as Philippians 2:13 says, it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. So if you don't have a specific burden right now, that's okay. Not everybody does. Sometimes it's later in life when you get it. But it's not hard to figure out what your gift is if you take the steps we talked about earlier in the program. And you can take steps along the career world or region that utilizes your gift. So discover your gift. Look out for your burden, and where those two intersect, you'll find your career calling. And if you'd like to get a free copy of today's broadcast, go to careercallings.net/radio, where you can listen to these tips and tricks time and time again until they become part of you. God bless, and join us next week for another edition of Career Callings.